Hello and welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. I am your host, Vince. This is episode 267. How are you? You look great as usual. You look fantastic. I hope you guys are well. I got a fun episode for you. Just some quick updates in the beginning, a really fun piece of lore from one of my favorite games ever made. And then we can talk about a universe which is ripe for exploring. I hope you guys are well. Like I said, this is episode 267. That's a whole hell of a lot of episodes. If you guys like the show and you want to help support it in any way, please check out the link in the description below to the Patreon. There's the $1 tier, and the highest tier is a $10 tier. And every single tier, your voice is heard. You will be heard when it comes time to choose this week's lore. And you could change your tier at any point in time, but if you'd like to support in any manner, one of the best ways to do it is to throw a couple bucks my way every month. And like I said, you could change your tier, but at the $10 tier, you get to listen to these episodes get recorded live in the Discord. Also, another huge way to support is just by commenting under any video or podcast that you listen to, also just sharing it with a friend. That one helps tremendously too. Just like just saying, hey, I think you may like this to a friend helps in such a big bad way. But also commenting on anything, liking things, sharing things around, it helps the show grow, which in turn can help the show get bigger and better. While we're talking about podcasting and podcasting sites, real quick, I'd like to bring up, if you're using Stitcher, I don't know how many people are using Stitcher for podcasts. I know Stitcher is a big name in podcasting, but I don't know how many people are actually using it. They've done, I believe, Serial, the Serial podcast where they talk about true crime and stuff. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe they hosted that, or maybe they did like a joint thing with NPR. Either way, if you're using Stitcher, it's going down at the end of the month. I don't remember the exact date, so I have the internet in front of me. Let me Google it. A quick Google search of just typing in Stitcher podcast shutting down. Stitcher is a popular podcasting app, has announced it'll be shutting down in August. The podcast platform will officially close on August 29th, just over 15 years after it first launched. The company was founded in 2008. So if you're using Stitcher, it's going under. And it just makes me think that there's so many different, like, things that we use constantly that are just not making money. But this is also saying that SiriusXM owned it, and they're shutting down the app, website. This is on Variety by Todd Spangler. That's who wrote that. That's just real quick that I saw it. Like, I heard that Netflix and Hulu have, like, never made money, and I don't know anybody that has a Netflix account anymore that isn't 50 or older. And it just made me think, like, are any of these things generating any sort of revenue? Is money fake? Is money not real? And just to see how this is shutting down Netflix. I mean, there's the whole strike going on that Netflix is saying they're not going to pay their people. Hulu saying Disney Plus. I know Disney's making the money, but if you're using Stitcher, I just want you to know that you're going to have to listen on another platform. Spotify is free. You could download stuff on Spotify. I don't like Spotify personally. I don't like the way they pay artists. They also host my podcast, so I don't want to speak ill of them. They're fine. They're great. Whatever. I use CastBox. That's one I like a lot. It's just simple and easy. And honestly, people were uploading stuff to CastBox that shouldn't have been uploaded there. And I was listening to stuff that, like, I normally would have to pay to listen to, but I didn't pay. but if you're using Stitcher, it is shutting down. So you might have to find me somewhere else. If you're on YouTube, none of this meant, like, anything to you. But I want to get right into this lore. I want to get directly into this lore. This is one that I've wanted to do for a while. I've been kind of thinking about doing something like this for a while. It's been a while since I've done this type of a lore segment. Before I can get into lore, I have to thank the Patreon. I have to thank the folks that support this show in a monetary way. Now, if you support, even just by listening, it's tremendous. And like I said prior, a great way to help support is just by passing my name around, just by passing the channel around, the pod, the show, anything, leaving a comment, leaving a like. But some people throw us a couple bucks. And like I said, the $10 tier, there is the Film Live for a Studio audience, and you get to listen and watch these episodes get recorded live. You become part of a studio audience. You could change the tier at any time. There's four different tiers, one being the lowest and 10 being the highest. So I have to thank some people. Starting from the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Danny. Thank you, Danny. After Danny, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. Because if you guys, the show continues to grow and get bigger and better. And I thank you. Because of you guys, the show continues to be able to try new things, and I'm able to buy equipment and upgrades and things that I need to make the show last longer and become bigger. Thank you. So this week, much like every other week, I went into the Patreon and I asked a poll, and I said, I want to do a quest. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've done any sort of a quest. And Fallout games have their mainline quests, and they're fine. You know, be it someone shot me in the face, or my dad's gone, I don't have water, 76, I need a plot. Like, every game has a mainline quest. But the thing that keeps us coming back time and time again, in my opinion, is the side quests. These are the quests that flesh out the world. They make these little pockets of civilization, these characters, interesting. They make the game worth coming back to. And today's quest that I'm going to be talking about is from my favorite game ever, and I've only ever done it once. I think I've done this quest one time, and I found it on accident. And I don't know why I've never gone back and done it. But if you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever, make sure you join the Patreon. Even at the $1 tier, the cheapest it goes, your voice is heard weekly when I ask the Patreon what lore they'd want to hear in a poll. And this week's lore is on Riley's Rangers, the quest from Fallout 3. Riley's Rangers is a merc faction in the Capital Wasteland in the year 2277 and have a strong resentment for the Talon Company. Now, when people think mercenaries, definition, when I Google mercenary definition, is primarily concerned with making money at the expense of ethics. And that's what I like so much about Riley's Rangers, is they're a group that are ethical. They're a group that will do what's best, not just because the money is involved, but because they want to do it. Their main prerogative inside of the Capital Wasteland in the year 2277 is to geomap out the entirety of the Capital Wasteland, because they believe you can have a map people can traverse better. Also, there's just something fun about traversing through an area and going, ooh, this is here, ooh, that's there, ooh, this is that way. And also eradicating all of the super mutants within the DC Wastes. You can talk to Riley at one point and you can get her opinion on Talon Company being the exact opposite of what they are. And when you ask her, she says, quote, let me give you a word of advice. Stay away from them. They give mercs a bad name. They have no morals, no remorse, and wouldn't hesitate to put a bullet through a defenseless man's head if it meant a job. They've been pretty active lately around the old Capitol building ruins. End quote. They care about the people of the Wasteland, even if it's just that. A mercenary, like I said, is someone who wants to make money at the expense of ethics. Other similar synonyms here are money-oriented, grasping, greedy. These are people that care about other people, and you can see it in the way that Riley is just kind of upbeat. The way she kind of just presents herself, her crew of rangers kind of present themselves. They seem a little militaristic, and I just think it's the appearance of the combat armor, the green combat armor, and the haircuts, honestly. But they are people that want to do what is best for the rest of the Wastes. They're a force for good, and they have their headquarters at the Rangers HQ. So the entire team, Riley being the leader, Donovan being their engineer, Brick being the heavy weapons expert, Butcher being the medic, and Theo being the quartermaster, who was actually carrying all of the ammo when he died. But we'll get to him in a little bit later. Now, to get the quest Riley's Rangers, there's a couple different ways to do it. One of them being that you can find Riley in Underworld, and you can either wake her up with a 60 med check or convince Doc Boros to use a 78 speech check to wake her up. When you wake Riley up, she'll tell you about how she was wounded in a battle against super mutants, and the rest of her team is stuck on the Statesman Hotel. You could talk to her, get a little more information out of her, and kind of figure out where she is, where she's from, what she's doing, what her mission is, what her plans are, and go from there. You can also pick up the Rangers emergency frequency, and you could pick it up on Pennsylvania Ave, Vernon Square, the National Archives, traveling towards the Statesman Hotel, which we'll get to the Statesman in just a bit. Or if you're by the Ranger, in the Ranger's HQ, you can read Riley's terminal. Once you agree to help, you need to find Our Lady of Hope Hospital. And when you find that, there's an option there where you can locate the ammo cache that was being carried by Theo. One of my favorite things about this quest is the way the world is set up, the vignette is set up for you to explore in. When you get to Our Lady of Hope Hospital, it's completely a different cell on the inside than I can think of any other cell in Fallout 3. It's completely unique to my memory. Even just writing the notes for this quest, which I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukapedia, if you will. I also watched a YouTube video that was just a quick rundown of a let's play, like a non-talking let's play of the quest. The hospital and the hotel, but this time we're talking about just the hospital, is a completely unique cell. What's so funny about it too is that when I was watching this, I actually remember, I've told the story before, so I'll keep it short. My brother had come home from GameStop. He was very young, and one of the only games I never would let him borrow was Fallout 3, so he came home with a copy of Fallout 3, and he had his TV super loud for some reason, and I could just hear the sounds of, like, vats in the distance, and I, like, ran out of my room, and I was like, who's playing Fallout? And I ran upstairs, and he was in the hospital. He was in Our Lady of Hope Hospital, and it's completely different, and it's so striking to be in there and having the super mutants and the centaurs coming after you, and it really, in my opinion, brings Fallout 3 into its own in ways like this. And how you have to go from floor to floor, and then once you hit the second floor of Our Lady of Hope, there's a bridge, which is really just a toppled over crane, just like a construction crane, has toppled over from the hospital into the Statesman Hotel, and it makes the world feel the way the world should, in my opinion. The way that we're just hobbling together what we can to make sure that we can survive. And I love that about Fallout 3, and I feel like that comes through in spades here, truly. Like, I feel like this quest makes you feel like a ragtag group of people who are trying to make the best out of an awful situation. But also, here is this crane that we don't know how much longer is gonna sit here. You could imagine it's gonna be a while because it's a steel crane and it's just nestled perfectly into the building. And I was playing Fallout 3 recently, and I was sitting there playing it going, this is just beautiful. Like, this game is just beautiful. Like, I could look at a beach, whatever, that's fine, whatever. Desolate cities, to me, are absolutely perfect. But let's get back to the lore. Once inside of the Statesman Hotel, you can find Theo with his ammo crate in a stairwell. And like I said, he is dead. He died. Sorry, it happens. And just continue up the stairs in the northwest corner of the building that leads you to the roof. And the roof is where Riley tells you that her people, her men, her group, her squad has been stuck. And once you're there, Butcher will wave you over. There's a little bit of an attack that happens during when you get there by some super mutants. And what's so cool about this quest, too, is none of these characters are essential. These characters is
not
essential. Even Riley, as far as I can read off the wiki, does not become an essential character. She's not needed. It's one of the few times in Fallout 3 where every single person could just die. And that's just it. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. Butcher, Donovan, Brick, all of them just could die. And it affects the way the quest ends. It gives you certain rewards that you can and cannot get, but we'll get to that in just a moment. When you're on the roof, Butcher will inform you that they're stuck up there on the roof unless Donovan can fix the elevator. Now, if you haven't already fixed it, Donovan will instruct you to go find a fission battery that's in the maintenance room on a dead Protectron that you can pull out. You can, before you go looking for the Protectron, you can give out all the ammo that you picked up. Butcher will take 50 rounds of 10mm, and Donovan will take 50 rounds of 5.56.
Brick takes 155mm round.
If your repair is 75 or higher, Donovan does not need to repair the elevator, and you yourself can repair the elevator. There's a glitch where you can lose the fission battery. Everything that I read off the wiki again made it seem like you can come in with your own fission battery, or you can go get that one. But if you drop that fission battery in particular, then you just lock them out. Like, if you, like, say I drop it or I put it in a can and I lose it, you lose that one, and there's nothing special about it. You just soft lock the quest and they can't leave the roof. So you're kind of forced to kill them if you want to do anything with the quest to finish it out. Now, once you escape, you get into the elevator, you go down to the level, and you have to fight off the remaining super mutants that are in the building. You'll be hit wave after wave after wave of super mutants. And as long as Butcher survives, like I said, Brick can die, Donovan can die, but as long as Butcher survives, he'll tell you to come by the Rangers headquarters. Your rewards for this quest, once you return back to Riley, are honestly some of the best in the game. You become an honorary member of the Riley's Rangers. You get a suit of armor, or you get Brick's weapon, Eugene, which is a unique minigun, which I honestly wouldn't take. I don't know how many people are doing minigun builds for Fallout 3, or minigun, or like heavy armor, heavy weapon builds in general, but I personally would take the armor. You also get Butcher to patch you up for free. He'll always give you medical attention for free, and Donovan will repair your weapons and armor for a smaller fee, and it's such a huge reduction, it's more than almost anybody in the entire wasteland. Now, this then opens a hidden quest. If everybody survives, it opens up a hidden quest called Geomapping with Riley. But you can't do this if all of the members die. She's upset with you. She wants nothing to do with you. Because, according to her, you killed her men. You killed her homies. They're all dead because of you. But if you get the quest, she'll give you a Geomapper module, and as long as it is in your inventory and you discover new locations, she will give you 30 caps. The most you can make out of this is 4,890 caps, which really is nothing to bat an eye out. The extra 30 caps here and there, Fallout 4 has that perk that if you get with Piper, that every time you discover a new location, you get XP. Great perk. This is like Fallout 3's version of that perk. Now, just some quick notes that I'd like to read for you guys. Again, all of my lore comes from fallout.fandom.com. If Donovan is killed on the roof during the battle with the super mutants, you can use Donovan's wrench to fix the elevator. Donovan's wrench just being a miscellaneous item that you pick up, you can then just use that. One may randomly encounter Donovan while traveling through the Capital Wasteland. When the player talks to him, he will give the player a mini-nuke and say that Riley sent him. It's also possible that one's random encounter with Donovan will be the discovery of his body, on which you can find Ranger battle armor, a Ranger battle helmet, a 10mm pistol, and a mini nuke with a few random items. On Riley's terminal, there's a contract note about being paid for each super mutant killed and needing body parts as proof. I'd be a billionaire if that was available to my player character. When you enter the Statesman Hotel, there's actually a generator to the left. And if it's shot, all of the Rangers turn hostile and you fail the quest. If you've beaten Broken Steel, and it's installed, obviously, and you've obtained the blood analyzer from the quest Blood Brotherhood, it's possible to collect over 50 blood samples for this repeatable quest in this hotel during this quest and the hospital. This is notoriously buggy. Riley's Rangers I know to be notoriously buggy. I've known so many people that have said to me that they started it and just never worked. This is also what people point to when they say Fallout 3 missed an opportunity to build the world out a little bit. I personally like these small little interactions with the player character. I like figuring out who these people are and what they've done and the little things about them. In a different Fallout game, it might have been a little more fleshed out. You might have met people that know Riley's Rangers personally and want to help out. And, you know, this person knows that person on this side of the map. But I like Riley's Rangers a lot. And like I said, I've only ever done this quest once. So I'm excited to sit down and, like, record the footage for this because I'm going to get to play the quest again. I hope you guys enjoyed this because that is this week's lore. Hey, guys. Welcome to segment 3 of Atomic Radio Hour. One of my favorite segments. It's a top three segment for sure. Some exciting news that I have to talk to you guys about. Kyle, I don't need IGN. I don't need anything. I don't need anything, man. I just need Kyle. I don't need IGN. I don't need Twitter. I kind of need Twitter because this is how Kyle sends me things. Kyle sends me gaming news left, right, middle, up the back, around the corner through Twitter. And he's my number one source for all things gaming. And he sent me a very exciting tweet today. One of them by the Game Awards, Starfield. Bethesda Game Studios' first new world in more than two decades has gone gold. This game will launch Friday, September 1st in early access on Xbox and PC. Meaning, we are getting, in my opinion, the next-gen game. I know Baldur's Gate just came out. I know Elden Ring is a thing. I've heard things about Hogwarts Legacy being like, these are the next-gen games. In my opinion, this is a next-gen game. For me, it is. I like open-world games. I like RPGs. This is my type of game. And it's gone gold, baby. The day it comes out, I don't think they're going to be doing a midnight release. They might. I believe it comes out, or physically it comes out for me at least. That's how I'm getting it, because I know I just said it comes out on the 1st. I don't really like how things are just coming out when they come out. It's coming out September 6th, 2023, in the year of our Lord, a Wednesday. I actually have some family who is coming to visit around that time. I believe they leave the 7th. So what I might do is, if my GameStop is doing a midnight release, I might go to the midnight release and pick it up and install it on my Xbox. And then I am going to take them to the airport and I'm going to come home and play it all gosh damn day long. I'm very excited for this. It's gone gold. It comes out in exactly from the day of recording this. 16 days? 14 days, 15 days, 15 days, 16 days. Like it's coming out tomorrow, as far as I'm concerned. It's here. A little unceremonious in its release, especially because it comes out on the 1st. Oh, actually, sooner than that. No, I'm sorry. That's correct. A little unceremonious because it's early access, whatever. But this is a game that I hope I don't hear anything about it for like a month. Honestly, like, I hope a month goes by and nobody talks about it. And then like a month and everyone's like, I haven't stopped. There's some things I'd like to bring up here real quick that I think is going to be super dope. This is from Shinobi602 on Twitter. Again, all of my game leaks, all of my gaming information comes from Kyle on Twitter. There's a jail system. I don't know why that made me so excited. I think the number one thing I'm excited about for Starfield is just the idea of being a space pirate. And the fact that I could get arrested and, like, my crew could break me out potentially, or I can break out potentially, and I'm just a wanted man, is incredibly exciting. Like, that's the reason I'm going to play. I'm going to probably do, like, the first hour and a half, 2 hours of story, and then just go explore. Like, that's what I want to do. You can recruit 20-plus crew members for your crew. That's a big ship. There's more ship stuff that I'm going to be going into in a second, but like, to the idea of having 20-plus people in my crew that I know work for me, even if they don't have fully fleshed-out stories, even if it's just NPC 5 who gets thrown in, to me, that's great, just because it makes the ship feel more alive. You can buy and own homes in different cities, which means, to me, I want to be a pirate extraordinaire, and I just want to have a different hideaway in every major city. Every major city that I can go to, here's my house. I've decorated it accordingly, but here's my main house. Here's the house that I love the most because I love the city that it's in. You can hide illegal contraband on your ship with unique ship modules. Again, yar me bucko, yar me bucko. We need more pirate games just in general. And the idea of being like a space hombre. Imagine being a Dutch Vanderlyn in space. Like, I just, it's like a fantasy in a game that I've never been able to really rectify. And I don't think Starfield is going to be like a one-to-one life sim role-playing machine, but I think it's going to get me as close as I can get for a very long time. I'm feeling the ways about the space travel and the piracy the way I felt about No Man's Sky, to be completely honest. And I was late to No Man's Sky. I didn't jump on that hype train till the very end. It's the, believe, the first midnight release my brother ever went to. I took him along, and he was young, but I remember saying to my mom, is it cool if he comes with me? And we went, and if it wasn't that, it was the Switch release for him. But seeing the gameplay and all the stuff for that, I really got hyped up for Starfield in a, I'm sorry, excuse me, for No Man's Sky in a big bad way for that. And I have a feeling this could really, this could fill that urge that I have. Various options for pacifist players, dialogue, non-lethal weapons, etc. Non-lethal weapons. I'm thinking about being a pirate, being a thief who gets himself into all sorts of danger, but can talk his way out. And if non-lethal weapons are a thing, I think I might be a pacifist. I've always wanted to do a pacifist run in New Vegas. It's a little harder in 3 and Fallout 4, but I've always wanted to do a pacifist run in New Vegas, and maybe not my first playthrough, but I can definitely see myself doing a pacifist run of this game. All of this comes from the Discord Q&A, so I'm assuming when Shinobi tweeted this out, it was the Bethesda Discord Q&A, because they have their own Discord community and everything. I can't believe how excited I am for a modern game. I try not to let hype get to me, but this is one of my favorite, if not my favorite studios, like Bethesda, Rockstar, you know, studios that have never let people down. Just people that I know do good work, in theory. People that will make a product that I will play for a very long time. I don't like GTA 5, and I'm still playing GTA 5. At least once a year. Feels like once a year, my friends and I go through kind of like a thing for GTA 5. I cannot believe, in modern time, I'm this excited. If you guys are getting the game, please let me know. Leave a comment below. I'd love to hear about what your thoughts are, where you're at. I can't wait for ship combat. It's just, I know a lot of people are skeptical. Like, I just saw recently someone tweeting at Pete Hines asking when is the game going gold, and that they didn't care about the merch coming out. They're like, this is what Cyberpunk did. And Pete Hines, this was like a week ago, if that, not even. Pete Hines was like, I have a good team. I trust my team. The game will be going gold in due time. The game will be coming out on time. I can't wait to play it, man. It got delayed how many times? A good game often does. I have nothing but high hopes. I want to play this. Let me know what you guys are thinking. That's pretty much all I have for you this week. If you enjoyed the show, the intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers, Feather Duster, the song that should be playing just about now. You can get all of Shane Ivers' music at silvermansounds.com/freemusic/feather duster for this song. But if you don't put the Feather Duster in, it's all of his music. They're all heaters and they're all free. They're, as long as you credit him, you can use them. They're great. I love them. Ah. Link in the description to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Kyle's Twitter. We still call it Twitter around here, and we always will. Link to the Patreon in the description below. Consider helping out monetarily if you can afford it. Times are tough. I totally get it. There's also a way to share the show around. It helps out tremendously. I think that's everything I have to say. I believe so. I'm very excited for Starfield. I love you guys very much. Thank you for taking the time to hang out with me, be it on your commute to work or your Saturday, Sunday morning or what have you. Thank you. I love you very much. I hope you guys are well. I hope you guys feel as beautiful as you look. I hope someone tells you tomorrow or today or in 2 minutes from now, whenever. I hope someone loves you. I hope someone tells you that, because I do. I love you. I'll see you next week, everybody. Bye. Love you.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Ghoulman Entertainment.